Hello and welcome to a special edition of the World Soccer Talk podcast. My name is Christopher Harris, aka The Gaffer, and I'm joined today by Kartik Krishnaiyer. Kartik, how are you doing so far today?
Doing well, crazy day.
Yeah, it's been insane. And it's the reason that we want to bring this news to you via the podcast with a special edition. And that is that Turner Sports has announced the details of their UEFA Champions League and UEFA Europa League coverage for the United States. It kicks off in August of 2018 and runs through till 2021. And the reason we wanted to share this news with you is because it's some massive changes. First of all is that on the Europa League side, every single match is going to be available through a paid subscription over the top package, except for the final. So the final, the Europa League final in forthcoming years, 2018-19 season onwards, will be on TNT or TBS. But all of the games will be on this over-the-top package, streaming package from Turner Sports. Now, with the Champions League, the amount of games coming to the subscription package is going to be quite considerable. So there will be some games that will be on television. And I think approximately, let me see, it's going to include four live telecasts each week throughout the group stage. And that's September through early December. And those are on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 o'clock and 3 p.m. Eastern. That's another big change, too, that 2:45 kickoffs are going away, and you're going to have a doubleheader on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But so the UEFA Champions League coverage will include four live telecasts each week, which will be on True TV, and then two televised matches per week during the knockout stages, which begin in February of 2019. So again, Tuesdays and Thursdays, actually Tuesdays and Wednesdays, pardon me, at 3 p.m. Eastern. All right, Kartik, so there's a lot to take in here. Any news here that I haven't disclosed that you want to add to?
No, that pretty much hits it. I mean, I think the big takeaway is there's going to be a lot more behind a paywall, and about half the games will be on television still. We get more than half the games now on English language television. So that's a bad piece of the puzzle. The good piece is True TV is available in more homes than Fox FS1 or FS2. So that's one way of looking at it. And the UEFA Champions League final being on TNT or TBS is similar to the NCAA basketball tournament final that had always traditionally been on CBS. If you go back to the early 1980s, it was on NBC, but has moved to TBS in recent years. It's been on TBS occasionally in recent years. Europa League finals. Well, also, UEFA Super Cup, by the way, will still be on either TBS or TNT. That, to me, is interesting because that's a game that for years ESPN, when they had the Champions League package, didn't include in their Champions League presentation, if you remember, prior to 2009, that game was on Fox Soccer Channel, whereas the Champions League was on ESPN. So that game will continue to be aired. If you like that game, to me, it's kind of a glorified friendly, but that game will continue to be on TBS or TNT.
Yeah, there's a lot to take in here. So let's take a step back for a second. So as of right now, under the current TV rights deal with Fox Sports, they usually have about 4 to 5 games on each game day on the UEFA Champions League day. They've got a game on FS1, FS2, Fox Soccer Plus, sometimes Fox Sportsnet, and Fox Deportes. Sometimes the Fox Deportes is a different game than the other games in the English language. But also they sublicense games to ESPN. So some of those games end up on ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, and that's just the television side of things. So there can be as many as 6 to 7 games each day currently on Fox, as well as all the games streaming via Fox Soccer Match Pass. So that's how it is today. In the future, once we get the Turner Sports deal, once that starts in August of 2018, you're going to have four live telecasts each week. So you're going to have two on Tuesday and then two on Wednesday during the group stages of the tournament. And so you're missing a lot of games. I mean, Kartik, and there's going to be some big games here too. Even though the group stages can be a little bit monotonous at times, there are going to be big matches here that you can only watch via online subscription.
Yeah, that's certainly the case, and I think it's going to limit exposure for this product even more substantially. I mean, I know a lot of people have complained about the Champions League, and a lot of newer soccer fans, people who didn't have to search and dig to watch games like we did, people of our age group, Chris, 10 years ago in this country, 10 or 15 years ago, have complained about FS2 showing a lot of Champions League games. But now just imagine this. All those games that are on FS2 every week and have been on FS2 every week since 2013 go away. That's a big hit, I think, for soccer fans. But let me explain something, and I talk about this in an article I penned for World Soccer Talk. Turner does not have a sports channel, right? And perhaps we got lucky and spoiled as soccer fans, because at the time when FS1 and FS2 launched, Fox was hard up for content, and they just had to fill up the channel with content. So that's why I think Europa League, which had never really featured prominently on television in this country prior to 2013, all of a sudden was being shown on FS1 and FS2 regularly, and then they showed all the Champions League matches they could. In addition to and this goes back to 2009 when Fox initially got the rights to the UEFA club competitions, that Fox Sports regional networks were included, because I asked a question directly to David Nathanson when they announced this at the press conference in March or April of 2009 about Fox Sports regional. And he said that because they were in far more homes than Fox Soccer Channel or Fox Soccer Plus, that they had to use that mechanism. Remember, at the time, Fox didn't have a sports channel, a dedicated sports channel, when they first got the Champions League rights, much like Turner now. And they don't have regional sports channels, Turner, the way Fox did. So it's also interesting to look at the evolution of why games ended up where they did on Fox. And perhaps all of that has spoiled us.
Yeah, definitely. It's there's going to be some fans, there's going to be some listeners who are probably going to actually regret Fox losing the rights to this one, especially from the television side of things. The other thing, Kartik, is that so that we talked about before the group stage, in the knockout stages of the tournament, there's going to be 2 televised games per week during that phase. So beginning in February, all the way through till kind of to the quarterfinals, to the end of that. So you're looking at possibly there's a bunch of games on, but only 2 televised. Yeah. So you might have 1 on Tuesday or 1 on Wednesday. And as we've seen in previous knockout stages of this tournament, there are usually so many big matches, it's difficult. Sometimes there's Real Madrid against Man City on FS1, and then you've got Barcelona against PSG on FS2.
And here's the thing. I mean, what we found with those round of 16 matches in particular, and maybe some quarterfinal matches, is that there's been a preference by Fox, for good reason, to show a Real Madrid game or a Manchester City game or Barcelona, Arsenal, whatever, the big clubs that make the knockout stage of the Champions League. In a lot of cases, Chris, and you know this, those games, those ties are virtually over after the first leg. And the second leg of Porto versus Shakhtar is much more interesting and compelling for the viewer. Yep. Or the second leg of Roma versus Borussia Dortmund. And then what ends up happening is Fox is able, because they're showing those games on FS2, to break in on FS1, give updates. You're able to find it if you've got FS2 or if you've got Fox Sports Go. Now, if that game, that second leg is much more compelling, you're going to be in a position where you're going to have to pay for the game to see it.
Yeah.
In English. That's
right,
important.
Right. And Turner Sports would probably argue with this over-the-top subscription package is that you get everything, and you can kind of flip back and forth in between whichever match was most exciting. But it does mean that combining the Europa League and the UEFA Champions League together in terms of the amount of games that are available, over 80% of those games are going to be available exclusively through the over-the-top subscription package. So collectively, less than 20% of those games are going to be available on television.
But now I would estimate well over half are available between the Fox networks and the networks they've sub-licensed to. So it's a big change.
Yeah, and the other thing too, it does remind me a lot of the Premier League Pass in terms of the way that this is set up. Reason being is that it really Turner's plan here, based on what we've seen thus far with the press release and the information that they've released, is it really focuses on the mainstream sports fan. So the mainstream sports fan is probably going to look at this as far as great news. Okay, I'm going to get four games each week through the group stage. I can watch my Barcelona, I can watch Real Madrid, I can watch Man United. And then through the later stages, the knockout stages, there's two per week. So, okay, again, probably Barcelona one day, Real Madrid the next day. And then the final, okay, wonderful. Now it's on TBS or TNT. So in terms of the reach for the mainstream audience with the Champions League, hey, it's fantastic. Now, for the hardcore fan, and it's the same thing with the Premier League Pass, for the hardcore fan who wants to have access to everything, who wants to be able to pick and choose, cherry pick, switch between game to game, the hardcore fan is the one that's being screwed, and the hardcore fan is the one that's going to have to pay extra to be able to have access to all this content. And that seems to be the same strategy that NBC is doing with the Premier League Pass, as is this one. And I think it's going to be, unfortunately, Kartik, I think it's the way of the future. I think we're going to see more and more of this type of thing.
Yeah, I write that in the article. I mean, I think that this is a trend, whether it be NBC Sports Premier League Pass, whether it be Disney and ESPN, we talked about that streaming service that's being launched. We talked about that on our weekly pod on Wednesday, and my suspicion that the championship games will end up there next year, and we may be getting it for free or free if you're a cable subscriber on ESPN3 this year, which is fantastic. But next season, you might be forced to pay for that. And Major League Soccer is going to be behind a similar paywall. That there's this trend now in this sport from over the air or over the air on television, cable model to digital pay platforms. And I think it's a situation where the networks themselves, who are dealing with cord cutting and are dealing with having to recoup the investment they made in these rights packages, in these properties, these sporting properties, are trying to find a way to monetize it to where they offset some of those investment costs, those initial investment costs. NBC paid an enormous amount to keep the Premier League rights in,
almost
this,
a
in this country. Yeah, right. Almost $1 billion, which is unprecedented for a soccer club property. So they have to offset that investment somehow. Turner paid, doubled what Fox and BAMTech reportedly had offered for UEFA club packages. They have to offset that somehow because, again, cable subscriptions are declining. If cable subscriptions weren't declining, they may be comfortable putting the entire tournament on True TV. But True TV has 87, close to 90 million subscribers now. It might be down to 80 million 2 years from now. It was probably 100 or 105 million 2 years ago. So they're having to find a balance, and I think that's something that it gets us upset as consumers, but from a media network perspective, they're having to find ways to continue to justify this sort of expenditure on sporting properties while fewer and fewer people are subscribing to cable and satellite services. So I think this is just an outgrowth of that, if you want to be perfectly honest about it.
Yeah, and we don't know what the price point is going to be for this streaming package. We probably won't know for several months. But it is one of those things, Kartik, in terms of the TV rights and just how worldwide the TV rights have gone through the roof. Scandalous in many ways in terms of the amount of money that these leagues and clubs are generating. And it's now caught up with us the fans, in terms of us now having to pay out a lot more with these streaming packages. And then that's the other thing too, Kartik. If you're a fan of, say, a few different clubs, if you're a fan of Celtic, the only way to watch Celtic matches is through the club directly, which is $200 a month. If you're a fan of, say, an EFL club, maybe you're a fan of Aston Villa, you have to subscribe through their package or through the iFollow EFL package. So a lot of the clubs are doing direct deals with the consumers. In this case, it's Turner Sports, the broadcaster, doing a direct deal then with consumers and offering some of the games on television. And the way that they're offering the games on television, to me, it's almost like a gateway drug in a good way, in terms of having, you mean, the Barcelonas and Real Madrids on television, as well as, say, Man United and Chelsea, etc. And then if you do get hooked and do want to watch more of those games, then bring you in. But the elephant in the room, Kartik, is illegal streaming. And I think this is something that Turner Sports needs to be very concerned about, and hopefully has some type of an action plan, because Illegal streaming, as we've seen through the Premier League and through any soccer league, you name it, is rampant. And I think something like this, where it is a paid subscription program, which is great, that's legally available for soccer fans, even though we don't know how much it's going to cost. Many millennials are going to say, just going to cut the cord and just watch these matches through illegal streaming, bypassing, circumventing Turner Sports entirely. And that could be worrisome in terms of if Turner Sports is not able to then collect on the money that they need to break even or to generate more revenue from the UEFA Champions League and Europa League. Now, Kartik, one of the other things, too, that we're waiting on in terms of interesting to see what happens is, so we talked about illegal streaming being a threat, and we talked about the Champions League and the UEFA Europa League. But the other thing, though, too, we have to remember is that Univision has the rights, the Spanish language rights, for the same cycle. And so far, they haven't announced what their coverage plans are. But this could be a big opportunity for Univision.
Yeah, this could be a massive opportunity for Univision. As of now, we don't know what their coverage plans are, but they've got the same three-year contract beginning with the 2018-2019 tournament. And if UEFA Europa League games are shown live to air, which I believe they probably will be at least one a week on Univision Deportes Network, it is a huge opportunity for Univision Deportes Network to capture that English language dominant soccer fan, which I know that they've made some plays at in the past and would love to bring them into their ecosystem of viewers, at the same time as probably costing Turner a lot of money with his OTT package. So Europa League in particular is going to be interesting to keep an eye on for Univision's coverage plans. Now for Champions League, maybe they'll balance it in such a way that they'll be able to get some eyeballs on their network and also hurt Turner in terms of the OTT package they're trying to sell. I think that that's probably a lesser factor, but I think Europa League could be massive. If you think about Univision Deportes Network, which is a dedicated sports channel, which shows a lot of soccer, and because it's in a Spanish language channel, there's more of an emphasis in soccer, even in their bumper programming and the other things they do. That's the only place you can get an actual kind of bumper highlights magazine MLS program is actually on that network. We hear a lot of complaints that MLS doesn't produce one for television. That's actually not true. There is one on Univision Deportes because they have the bandwidth. So think about this. You may get a lot of first-time viewers for that network because Manchester United falls to the Europa League, or like this season, Arsenal falls to the Europa League, or Liverpool. Given the situation in England, there's a good chance a big club is going to be in Europa League, and there will be eyeballs on Univision Deportes. Can you imagine if one of the big clubs in Germany falls to Europa League, which has happened, or Italy, the Milan clubs are coming back, but they're not necessarily Champions League level. They might be in Europa League next year, and people might be watching Univision Deportes. So I think it's a great opportunity for Univision.
The one thing that we don't know yet also is how Univision will work with Turner Sports. So, for example, during the knockout stages or during the group stages of the UEFA Champions League, will Univision go ahead on their own and just show whichever games they want to across Univision Deportes, across Unimas, maybe even the final on Univision, kind of over their network? Or will they cooperate with Turner Sports and try and figure out, okay, well, we're going to show the Barcelona game on the Tuesday at 1 p.m. and Turner Sports, you guys were going to show the Real Madrid game at the same time on your network?
I tend to think there'll be some of that going on. I'm not sure that they'll collude completely on that, but I think I tend to think there'll be some of that going on, for sure.
Because there could be an opportunity here for both of them to work together so that if someone wants to subscribe to True TV, to watch four games a week on the English language side during the group stage, and then two games a week during the knockout stages, and also subscribe to Univision Deportes and watch some of the other games that are not shown on Turner. But at the end of the day, though, too, Kartik, that's going to hurt Turner's subscription package in terms of the online side of things.
Because there's a total of 8 games a week in the group stage that take place. So if 4 of them are on True TV, that's already half. Let's say Univision Deportes takes 2 of the other 4, then it really hurts Turner's subscription service. If they don't, if they just overlap the same matches, you're right. There's still 4 games in the group stage every week that are that you have to pay to see.
Yeah, my thinking is that they're going to overlap and that Univision's going to go their way to try to get to recoup the money that they've invested. And same thing with Turner, well, they'll go their way and trying to get as many subscribers to their online subscription package as possible. But it's possible that they may chat now and again to see kind of what works best for both broadcasters.
There also might be the consideration where for Univision, they might feel like showing La Liga teams is more in their interest, whereas for Turner, they're probably going to think showing Premier League teams is more in their interest. I'm just kind of spitballing that as we speak, but that's generally been the way it evolved for Fox, where I think Fox tried to be pretty balanced when they first got the Champions League package in 2009, and they were showing they were exposing us to teams that we didn't necessarily see on ESPN, and it was I remember 6 months into the Fox package saying, yeah, we're seeing a lot more football from Eastern Europe, et cetera, than we used to see on ESPN. But then eventually they settle into this pattern where Fox and once FS1 and FS2 were begun, they generally showed Bayern Munich games and English teams and Celtic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, teams with kind of Northern European bent, and Deportes generally showed Italian teams and Spanish teams. And it kind of went in that direction. There are exceptions, there are crossovers, but that generally was the way it went. And so maybe that happens between Turner and Univision as well.
Yeah, there's definitely lots of variables from both sides. Spanish language in terms of Mexican players playing in the Champions League or players of Hispanic descent that could have a big factor about which games they want to show.
That was another thing, right. So Fox Deportes would show PSV an awful lot because they had a lot of Mexican players.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Kartik, so it's big news. It's a lot to digest. We've got a FAQ at worldsoccertalk.com. We've got your article about how this is going to drive up the costs for soccer fans in the United States, as well as some of the pluses and minuses of the announcement today, and much, much more. We're going to be having basically wall-to-wall coverage over the next couple of days. So check us out at worldsoccertalk.com. And if you're listening on the website itself, to check out the other stories for all of your coverage needs. And then also, if you have any questions, be sure to let us know through the website, worldsoccertalk.com, through Twitter, WSoccerTalk, through Facebook, through facebook.com/worldsoccertalk, or through email at web@worldsoccertalk.com. So Kartik Krishnaiyer, Christopher Harris, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to chatting with you on the next World Soccer Talk podcast.